Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Loop ready, the pitch. Swing and a ground ball hit towards third. Guillorme charges, has it, throws home, and it gets by McCann. Phillies lead. Here comes Harper. He'll score. Two across on the throwing error, and the Phillies lead it 4-2.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Marks and Reese. Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. Ike, I was actually listening on the Odyssey app last night. To that exact moment, I was watching the game on my phone, and it stopped working. Like, the app crashed out, so I went over to the Odyssey app, which you can listen to every Phil's game on.
There you go.
And I listened to the end of the game, and I heard that exact moment last night.
Hello, awesome
Ike.
Game. Undefeated. Johnny Marks, holla at your boy.
Yeah. And we will, of course, talk about the Phillies today. As
4-0, baby, 4-0!
How about that? Looking for another win tonight. And we will discuss the Phillies. We have Larry Anderson coming up at 4 o'clock later on in the show. So we will take your Phillies phone calls. We will talk about their 4-0 start. But Ike, let's start here because Nick Sirianni did a little video on PhiladelphiaEagles.com with our buddy Fran Duffy. Mm-hmm. And he's going over some plays. So you got about 25 minutes of Nick Sirianni. They're putting plays that they did when he was with the Colts up on the board, and he's going over the plays and talking about them and everything. And I thought he was pretty good. He's likable, but what did you think about it? I know you saw it as well.
Yeah, I loved it, and I think the Eagles need to do a little more of this. You know, don't overdo it, but you know, until they actually get out there on the field, at least until training camp, you know, mini camp, OTAs, that type of thing, where they can get some other footage and have him mic'd up with his own players on this team. I think Eagle fans need to see more of this from their head coach. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Didn't know what to expect. Went into it with an open mind. Also went into it wanting to be encouraged and learn something about our new head coach as we are still sort of trying to feel him out and figure out what he's all about. And while we've had nothing but, you know, a few press conferences to break down of Nick Sirianni as the new Eagles head coach, a lot of that is just him trying to tap dance around issues and circumstances that preceded him that he had nothing to do with. He's still trying to get a lay of the land. It's a difficult position for him to be in at the early stage of head coaching here in this city, considering how everything unraveled and they moved on from Carson and Doug Peterson. It's a difficult spot for any coach to come in, especially his first time being a head coach. So what I really wanted to know is, does the guy know football? And I put myself in the mind of a player sitting there listening to him talk about football. And I got to say, I was encouraged by that. He knows his football. I enjoyed the concepts that he and Fran were sort of going through. And, yeah, you got to get past all the excitement stuff. Like, I'm about ball, right? I want to know whether or not these concepts work, what went behind the idea of running these plays, what are you trying to get out of the plays, who are you trying to get open here, why the play works, the philosophy, those type of things. Because those are the nuts and bolts of being a coach, and a player wants to hear this to know that what you're giving him from a football knowledge standpoint is going to make him a better player. It's going to make him a better player. So once you get over the, he's doing the Harry High School thing where he seems to be excited about everything because that's what everybody wants to stick on. And I get it. That's the first impression. It's the most lasting impression. But if you open your – I was going to say open your heart.
Yeah, say it.
Yeah, no, that's not what I wanted to say. If you just open your mind to the ideas of let's see what he does know about the game of football and what he's going to bring to the table that's different from what we've seen in years past under Doug Peterson.
Right.
Right? So I enjoyed those 25 minutes. Fran is the best. Great questions. Also very knowledgeable. And so what you got there was just two guys going back and forth. It wasn't really a Q&A. It's just two guys going back and forth talking about the game of football from Coach Sirianni's perspective.
Yeah,
I thought it was good. Always looking for players that love ball.
He does love ball. All right, him and Fran Duffy just talking ball.
Well, I can vouch. Fran definitely loves ball.
He certainly does.
Balls. I had to do that a lot today using that term.
So let's, Jack, do you have a cut we can play and then we can get into it? Because I want to respond to what Ike just said. Go ahead, play.
Right? So look at how he creates this. He creates this with power, right? He creates yards after catch with power. Right? Sink out of there. You can look at the emotion on the sideline. I love that. Let's Jason Michael, our tight, go back. Go back. Look, that's Jason Michael, our tight end coach, because he's the tight end coach here. Look at the teammates. Look how much love they have for each other. That's Jack Doyle. Look how excited. That's Eric Ebron. Look how excited that tight end room is that Mo Alie-Cox just got a little touch right there and bowled over the Steelers defense. Look at the energy it brings to the entire sideline.
Oh, yeah. So I like him, right? He comes off as being very likable, and I think the players will like him for sure. He's funny. Like, he cracks me up. His enthusiasm. I like him a lot. I do. I felt like I was watching a poor man's John Madden or John Gruden doing a broadcast with the way he was describing it. You know, Madden used to do the, like, the boom, and the, just kind of his way of going back through a play. That's kind of what I felt like I was watching. He's describing the action that was going on. He did a fine job doing it. I'm sure he's a good football coach. I just don't know, man. I don't know. I'm still so much skeptical that no one else in the NFL even wanted to interview him, and he got the job. And, like, you know, the 25 minutes, I watched the whole thing. I don't feel any better. I don't feel any worse, right? Like, after the first press conference, we know he struggled. He went along with D'Angelo. Like, he was all right doing that. He seemed much more comfortable doing this because now it's just like, give me the video screen. You know, let me go through the plays. Let's do it, Fran. That's what he was doing. Very comfortable doing it, right?
He's a football coach.
Yes, he's a football coach.
That's what he is. The other stuff, like, to me, the other stuff is stuff we fixate on because we don't have actual football to fixate on right now. But if you just wanted to know whether or not the guy has a clue of what he's doing and you wanted a general idea of what to expect from the team, from his offense, because that's another thing that we were talking about. What's his philosophy? What is he trying to do? What is he trying to get out of his offense? He talked about being able to get the ball into his playmakers' hands quick. Every big play doesn't have to be 40, 50, 60 yards down the field through the air. You can get that by getting yards after the catch, moving the sticks. Now, listen, he's a young coach, so his youthfulness and that energy will play well with a young team. That doesn't play well with a veteran-laden team. It just doesn't. I'm sitting here at 47. That doesn't move me. I try to ignore that because I don't want to be distracted by that. Mm-hmm. And I can see why some people are like, oh, you know, he's a high school coach, that and other. Well, you also got to think about, okay, the type of team that he's taking over and who he's going to be trying to relate to. So the youthfulness actually plays a role with this team because this team is trying to get younger.
Yeah,
he's trying to get younger. And unless you're an established coach, you can't come in with the rough and rigored and structured type of environment where these guys may not respond to you. So part of that energy is being like, oh, you know what? I got the youthful energy like you guys, right? I'm here with you guys. But he still has to know what he's doing on game day.
Right.
He still has to know what he's doing on game day.
Right, and that's where I'm still not going to, because I just don't know. He hasn't been a head coach. He doesn't have a ton of experience calling plays, right? Like, I worry that he's like a super duper position coach or like a really good offensive coordinator. He's been credited with doing a very good job of developing wide receivers and stuff, and that's something that this team needs, but they need a head coach, not a wide receiver coach. So I worry that he's just not ready to step into a role like this. Like you had said, I mean, this is a really difficult spot to come in to an organization that Carson Wentz is now traded, and you know, the front office, the team is still kind of battered and trying to get up from that. Now they got to figure out who their quarterback is. Is it Jalen Hurts? Is it going to be one of these veteran guys that could become available next year? Is it going to be a draft pick next year? So,
next year, he can't worry about next year. He has to worry about this year.
No, I agree. It's a really tall and tough task to come in and to follow what happened last year and to now try to win games, get enough wins. We don't know if his quarterback's going to be good enough. We don't know if this roster is going to be good enough. We don't know if the front office is going to be even deeper into doing this and doing that and having control of what's going on.
Yeah, and I'll address that as well. We'll find out what type of coach he is and how good of a coach he is. My thing is, I think I have less concern about whether or not they made a mistake in hiring Nick Sirianni right now. That is less of my concern right now, right? I feel like, you know what? This is going to fall more on the organization. Meaning, if they give him players, they give him talent, then he probably can do something with it.
Yeah.
He can do something with it. I like Jonathan Gannon as our defensive coordinator. I mean, we don't seem to have any problems with him because of what he did in Indy and the defense they had there. Right? I don't know if he's ever been a defense. Has he ever been a defensive coordinator anywhere?
No.
Okay, so he didn't call plays. Everybody seems to be excited about him, and I am as well, and we haven't even heard him speak yet.
No, not really, no. We haven't.
I haven't heard him speak at all.
The staff doesn't have a lot of experience, been there, have done that before to kind of guide these young guys.
This boils down. These guys have all coached. They haven't coached in Philadelphia. They may be in a different position with this team, like a lot of coaches are when you take them off of staff and bring them here. You're giving them a promotion. You are basically putting them in a better position than what they were just in. And you don't know if you can do that job until someone actually gives you that opportunity to do that job. So I continue to say this. I have less concern about Nick Sirianni as the head coach, right, and whether or not he can call football games, and whether or not he knows what he's doing. I have more concern with, are you going to give him the right talent to coach? People had the same questions about Doug as a head coach. Even after his first year of coaching, he looked a lot better as a head coach when they did what? They gave him talent to coach. So this team is devoid of talent right now. It's underdeveloped talent as well. They have to go out and add players on offense and defense. And we want this team to actually get back to where we expect them to be year in and year out. A large part of this is truly going to have to do with the front office providing Nick Sirianni and his coaching staff with the proper personnel.
All right. Well, we will take phone calls this segment. It's a longer segment here to begin the show at 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. We'll give you our Twitter question, then we'll get going. It's brought to you by Marks Jewelers. When you shop for the diamond engagement ring of her dreams, well, you want to buy from the home team, Marks Jewelers in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. Shop local with Marks Jewelers. Their website is marks-jewelers.com. Jack Fritz, where are you on Nick Sirianni? Love his energy or... You know, you put wait and see and still skeptical. I'm both wait and see and still skeptical. I mean, of course I'm going to wait and see. Like, I'm not ready to do a cannonball in the deep end with Nick Sirianni.
I think Nick Sirianni is. I think he's always ready to do a cannonball.
Yes. I can see him doing that. Are you in or out?
I said this the day he got hired. I said this the first press conference. Like, I couldn't be more out on Nick Sirianni. And it has nothing to do with Nick Sirianni, the guy. He seems like a great guy. But what was the biggest problem under Doug Peterson? It was that these players ended up not respecting him, and it turned into a clubhouse atmosphere. And I feel like they hired the same kind of high-energy, nice guy that's not really going to push these guys. And they're still a veteran-laden team. They have some young talent. Mm-hmm. And sure, like, he's talking about football today, but it seemed pretty rudimentary to me. It seemed like, yeah, this seems like an easy concept that most NFL players should know how to run. And yes, getting the ball in your playmaker's hands should be an emphasis on offense. Like, congrats on knowing modern offense. I mean, seriously. Like,
are you trying to simplify ball talk? Is that
I'm
what
not trying to simplify ball talk. It's just like, yeah, this is what I would hope that they hired a guy that knows how to coach offense if you're trying to fix an offensive team that was terrible last year. So, like, there's nothing that has changed from this that has led me to believe anything other than he's a high school coach that is high energy, that is going to, you know, they'll buy in for four games.
Coach.
And as soon as everything goes wrong, everything's going to go wrong, and he's not going to be able to get him
back.
I feel terrible about Nick Sirianni.
So, Jack, I don't feel terrible about him, but we actually had somebody sent a direct message to our at Mark Cerise WIP to your account, to my account, and saying, more or less saying, like, you're not giving him a chance, but if you're going to insult the guy's intelligence every time he speaks, let him at least listen to him break down film. I think he sounds super intelligent when he's actually talking football. I don't. I think he was fine, right? Like, I think he's likable. Watching the video, it's like, okay, but like, isn't there like thousands of people that could explain the plays like that, right? Like,
yeah, thousands of football people. You couldn't explain that.
No, because I'm not a football person.
Okay, so don't say thousands of people as if that was. I got offended when Jack just said what he said. Baseball
the first part
guy.
Of being smart is knowing what to do.
Right. The baseball is complicated. I mean, no, don't disrespect the ins and outs of the game of football and concepts and how it is the true team sport that relies on 11 guys to do their job. Yeah, don't minimize that just because you don't understand it.
Who's minimizing it? I'm saying that.
Well, I'm talking to both of you. I'm talking to both of you. It isn't special. Like, you guys know football. Break down plays.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Okay, then.
I know that I couldn't, but we're acting like it's like, wow, I'm really impressed after watching that. Like, give me a break.
Well, hold on. You hear? First of all, I think I'm qualified to give my opinion on whether or not I should be okay with it, and I would imagine being a former player that there's some value to that. Now, if I'd have came over here and said what he broke down was elementary and anybody could have did that and that's nothing, that's a difference. It's a difference. You two baseball guys saying that. All right, give me a break here. You know, give me a break. That was some good football X's and O's. We wanted to know what type of offensive philosophy does Nick Sirianni bring to the table. It's the first opportunity that I believe he's done this to this extent.
Yeah.
And it can only go so deep. And believe me, you don't last as long as he has coaching football and get to this level without knowing about the ins and outs of the game of football and how the X's and O's on the offensive side of the ball work and how they play off each other and the concepts and, you know, the different personnel packages he had in there. One of the parts, he showed all three quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, Andrew Luck, and Jacoby Brissett. They all ran a variation of the same play, different personnels, some different formations, but they all got to the same spots on the field.
Right.
To the same spots on the field. So that shows you the diversity in the offense and what he may explain to us as what could be the complexity of the offense to the outside looking in, but it's very elementary for the offensive players. Because you know what? That genius that they hired in 2013, when he was running plays, left and right, you know all he was doing was flipping the play. Put it on the right hash, run it this way. Put it on the left hash, run it the same way. It didn't take people that long to figure out the genius was running the same six plays all game.
We're from Philadelphia and we fight.
Yeah. So I actually like what I saw there. Those are actual good route concepts that don't rely on the big bang theory, throwing the ball down the field, get the ball to guys underneath, the importance of hitting guys in stride. I'm not telling you he just broke down the invention of the game of football, but there are some people out there that got a chance to watch that feel better after watching that and seeing that and that come away with a better understanding. You two trying to minimize it as if it was nothing, I got offended by that.
Yeah, I kind of am minimizing it. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. Maybe some people.
Listen, you can keep minimizing it, and I'm going to keep exposing how much you don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. I mean,
hey, so just trust the fact that the football guy here is saying that there's some value to that.
No, I'm not saying there's
not
value.
But if you don't want to, then okay.
But you could also get any wide receiver coach to come in, and they could probably pretty much do the same thing. It's more about, like, he did this. If you search and you look, he did some of these things when he was the Colts offensive coordinator, and it's pretty good. Again, he comes off, he's got the energy, he explains it well, right? He's very much into it, right? Like, it's a good watch. But to me, like, that doesn't mean a whole lot.
I know, because you know why? Because you're not looking to get out of it what you should get out of it. You're trying to – I don't know what you're looking for, but he's explaining – as if he would be talking to players. So the receivers or the tailbacks' importance of picking up a chip block. Like, he's explaining why these guys are important in this concept and how the ball is being delivered to them, what Phillip Rivers saw versus one coverage, and then he hit T.Y. Hilton over the top. He's explaining all those things. So to a player, when you're sitting and listening and watching that, you're saying, okay, I get it. Because you know who understands that? Players do.
Mm-hmm.
They understand why you need to be at this route. When he says he doesn't like banana routes, he wants you to put your foot in the ground, stick it, and then go. He don't want you rounding off the routes because that gives the defender time to come underneath. Like, these are things that players do actually understand because they've heard a lot of these concepts throughout their time as football players.
Sure. Let's see what people think. 215-592-9494. We'll go to the Matt in Pottstown. Matt, what's up, bud? How are you?
I'm great. Beautiful day. Hey, Ike, well said.
I appreciate it.
I think you're going to be saying that for the next 2-3 hours repeatedly, so just be prepared. here's my thing on Nick Sirianni, and here's why I'm saying I'm all in. And I'm not saying, you know, like he's the next Vince Lombardi or Bill Walsh or anything like that, but here's why I'll be all in on the guy. One, he's here. We don't have choice. Number two, like everything Ike just said from a football side is what I view and what I kind of felt watching that and then hearing it on the radio just now. That's where I see it. It is a total breakdown from the inside of a football play, from its concept to how it's actually executed, and you can see that from birth to finish. So he did that very well. If you remember, I called way back, and the comparison I kind of gave is, if you talk to Charlie Manuel about directions or about something, you're going to think, man, this hayseed doesn't know anything. But if you get to talking to him about baseball, mm-hmm. about hitting,
yes.
this guy's an Einstein, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to kind of get past how somebody sounds sometimes. And I think that's where I am with Nick Sirianni at this point. Everything else that happens beyond this, you'll know, and it's not about wins and losses. You'll know within the first 5 games if this guy has it or doesn't. And here's the last piece why I'll say I'm in on Nick Sirianni. I know he's young. He's advanced quickly. But show me the stop where the guy has failed. This is a guy that gets to a position, owns it, excels at it, and then gets the next opportunity. So, yeah, he may be a wide receivers coach or have been a wide receivers coach. But I'm telling you, if this guy has gotten this position, if he feels there's failure coming in or he's not getting something done, this is the type of guy that is going to go 24/7 to figure it out. Maybe we don't like how he does it or whatever, but he is going to go completely in to figure it out and get better at it. And when we get off, I want you to tell me the place, the position that this guy has been in where he hasn't had success and has moved forward. You're not going to find it. So on that basis,
same with Chip Kelly.
Behind the guy.
It was the same with Chip Kelly when he got hired here. Sure.
Not Chip. Yeah, and we knew right away. And again, we knew right away on Chip Kelly that he was not the guy and he needed to go.
That's
what I just said. You didn't? If you didn't, then that explains a whole lot of what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I knew within 5 games. you could go back and check the tape.
Yeah.
Like, within 5 games, I was calling about him. He was not the guy. He was terrible.
I don't have that tape.
As a pro coach.
What you were saying was that Chip Kelly was successful until coming here, and then he got exposed after a while, right?
Just because
Nick Sirianni's been successful coming up through the ranks doesn't mean anything now. I mean, it's a good thing.
By position, he fights and he battles and he learns and he corrects his mistakes. Chip Kelly was successful right out of the gate based on what was here. Once the second year came, he was exposed. You're 100% right. So like I said, within 5 games, even though that record was okay in the beginning, you could go. I know you just said you can't, but I'm telling you, you can go back and go check a Facebook video. I was calling for his head by game.
I don't care.
All right, Jack. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Let's go to the Facebook video.
Where are we checking out? The Matt's Facebook video? Made Facebook Live talking about Chip Kelly from five years ago? That's what we're doing now?
More than five now,
yeah,
right?
It's like, what, seven years ago?
Eight.
Let me say this about Chip Kelly. It wasn't that Chip Kelly didn't know football. He didn't know how to relate to people.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at his record while he was here. He was 10-6 both of his two first years here.
Yep.
So it wasn't that he didn't know football. He couldn't relate to people and, more importantly, to the pro game. Because you just don't trade away the level of talent that he traded away.
Yeah, he thought it was him and the system, yes. Not about the talent. And it's never about you or the system. Not in the pros. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese is on the other side. Sirianni continues to talk. Does his excitement actually breaking down football have you more in? Or are you still skeptical? And give us your
I'm excited.
Give us your early season takeaways from the Phillies. They're 4-0. 4-0, Ike. Undefeated. Back at it tonight. We'll talk to LA coming up at 4 o'clock today. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Get in now.
But sometimes it's hard to hide that excitement. Like, oh my goodness, we got cover two, we're gonna rip this in. Or oh my goodness, we got cover one, we're gonna rip this Dover. Feel, oh my gosh, it's cover four, we're gonna get TY on the safety over there. Boom, we hit a touchdown. And that's pretty awesome.
Nick Sirianni.
Indicate, separate.
It's like John Gruden and Doug if they had a child. That's who you have.
All right, man.
Anyway, listen, I watched it and I'm like, all right. I like the dude a lot. I do. I think the players are gonna like him. I'm not going overboard that now all of a sudden I think he can, like, obviously he can coach and he knows football.
Let me tell you the things I want to know from Nick Sirianni, right? Because yeah. I think he does know football. I don't think Frank Reich would speak as highly of him as he's had and recommend him to Jeffrey Lurie as a guy. He's obviously worked with some talented players who speak highly of him as well. So I like the fact that he's been around, you know, guys like a Philip Rivers, Andrew Luck, you know, Keenan Allen, all these guys. He's seen top-level talent.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton, he's seen these guys. So he at least knows to some degree what makes those guys tick. How do you coach a player of that caliber? How do you get the most out of players like that? How do you accentuate their strengths and stay away from some of their weaknesses? So my biggest thing with Nick Sirianni, obviously, is in-game stuff, right? We know, but we're not going to be able to judge that until the season starts.
Right.
But my second biggest thing with him would be developing the players, particularly what he's supposed to specialize in. If I had one knock against Doug, that would have been the one knock I had against Doug, is that who developed under Doug? Who the quarterback, we obviously know he didn't develop under Doug, because if he felt that way, he would have wanted to stay.
Wide receivers.
Developing. What receivers
Miles
develop
Sanders
under
really
Doug?
Hasn't gotten better.
Right, the running backs. He's getting nine
Tight
carries
ends.
A game. Like, Zach Ertz was already here before Doug. Is Dallas Goedert developed under Doug? So that's the one knock that I would have had on Doug as to how did he develop these guys. And that's what I want to know about Nick Sirianni. I don't want to be looking for another quarterback. Right now, if you're going to tell me that future Hall of Famer is available out there, okay, that's
let's talk.
That's an obvious upgrade. But if we're talking about waiting on a 2022 draft, I don't give a damn about the 2022 draft. What I want Nick Sirianni to do, along with what's his name, Shane Steichen,
Steichen.
I finally got it right. I want them to develop Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's what I want them to do. Develop the quarterback. Put players around him and get the most out of him. See, that's what I worry about, is whether or not will he be given the proper level of talent that will allow him. The more work you ask of him, the less impressive he's going to look.
Sounds like you're more worried about the front office getting the players for the coach than you're worried about the coach.
Yes, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, can they go out and add the talent to this team so that he doesn't need to be Vince Lombardi and reinvent the game of football?
See, what I think ends up happening,
I just need him to put players in the right position and let them do what they do.
All right. Like, how I think this team is going to get built, I think that they're going to draft a bunch of players. I think they'll get a couple players that can play, but ultimately it's going to be Howie season. And you know what that means? Spending money, bringing players in here. They're going to have a lot of cap space in coming years. Next year. So, like, what does that mean? It means that, yeah, you have some draft picks here, but he's going to be wheeling and dealing. He's going to be looking to bring veterans in. You might have a veteran quarterback next year. So, like, the thing that I worry about with Sirianni is being a head coach is you know, you're managing a lot of different areas. It's not just you're worrying about being the offensive coordinator now. You have a whole team that you got to manage. There's a lot that goes into that. You wear a lot of hats. And I don't know if this is an easy organization to be a first-time coach with, right? Especially right now with everything that's happened in the last, you know, year and a half.
Well, Andy and Doug thrived as first-time head coaches.
I mean, Doug has had success, sure, but a couple years later, he's gone.
He won the Super Bowl.
He did.
You said that like he won a playoff game or something.
No, he did, but there was a lot of talent that was left over when he came in. So the core of the team was already built, and it wasn't going out and buying in free agency. It was already built. So then you had players that were added that kind of took care of everything. But ultimately, when Doug had to now manage the team and the situation, it was too much for him. Last year was too much for Doug. It was way too much that was going on. He couldn't answer simple questions about Carson Wentz, right? So that's why I'm worried about Nick Sirianni, especially in this city, is managing being a head coach and dealing with us and dealing with WIP and dealing with press conferences multiple times a week and us picking apart everything he's going to say. It's not an easy place to coach.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's going to happen. I mean, we did that with Doug all the way through his 5 years being here, and he won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, like that's going to happen in a town like this. The good thing is that you have relatively low expectations to start.
Yep, this year's good for him.
Yeah, you had low expectations to start with, and you need to see who the biggest thing for me, which is I want to see a different Jalen Reagor. I want to see a different Jalen Hurts. I want to see a different Miles Sanders. Like, I want to see different skill players take their game to the next level. And it seemed like Doug was stuck in that same offense, the same way of doing things, no real receiving coach that helps these guys develop. It's almost like we didn't know how to run routes and get open and all this other stuff. I mean, Michael Pittman went to Indy last year, and was he a second-round pick? And he may have been their best receiver by the end of the year.
Yeah. Yep.
I need to see that.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't get from the last regime here. And I keep picking on Doug only because he was the head coach. Jim Schwartz wasn't any better. Jim Schwartz didn't develop anybody.
No, it might have been worse.
Exactly.
No, literally might
exactly.
have been worse.
Exactly. So I say Doug because he was the head coach, but I mean that coaching staff.
Not a draft and develop type staff.
The only guy who did it is the guy who remained. Jeff Stoutland. That's who was good at developing guys, young players, getting them better. That's who was good at it, whether it was Vitae, whether it was Sayamalu, whether it's Driscoll last year, whether it's Mailata last year. Like, that's what Jeff Stoutland has done with young talent.
And you see
By the way, not first, well, the first-round talent they got in just can't play. That's not Jeff Stoutland's fault.
Yeah,
that's
the Andre Mailatas.
Andre Dillard, that's his fault. He just can't play.
Yep.
But they don't normally get him any talent to work with.
Nope. Sayamalu has turned into a nice player. Right?
Everybody else, cool, can we say, is sort of overperformed where they were selected?
God, I really have to go like Josh Sweat or somebody like that, right? And I don't even know if that's correct.
I mean, that's okay. It's not like
it's a reach.
He's not even a starter.
No, it's a reach.
Yeah.
I don't have another answer. Who else would I say?
Right, no, you're
Miles
right.
Miles Sanders went backwards last year.
Yeah, he certainly didn't reach the level that we expect.
Listen, dude, he said he was going to be the MVP. He was talking MVP going into the season. And now
he's talking about changing his number. He's trying to jump in on the number change plan.
Oh, with the single digits?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he wants to wear number 4.
Nice.
Jake Elliott is wearing number 4.
That's disrespectful.
No, Jake Elliott was wearing number 4.
Hold on, that's our Super Bowl hero.
I don't think. Can running backs wear top 10 numbers now?
Yes, now they can.
I guess they said everybody can wear single
digits.
Oh, but
we can't get Kelly Green back.
We're getting it back. But to your point, then we'll go to the phones. And coming up at 2:45, about 7 minutes from now, we go to the Mock Draft Central Control Room in Jack Fritz with another new mock draft. But to your point, like, that's what you wanted to see how Miles Sanders last year was taking that next step in becoming an all-pro, not this phony baloney Pro Bowl that he made last year, but turning into one of the elite backs in the NFL.
Yes.
Right? Like, remember when after they drafted him and how he was as a receiver, it's like, wow, I didn't realize he was that good as a receiver. We didn't see that after that year.
Dude, I love Miles Sanders coming out of Penn State. I don't know what the hell happened last year. I don't know. But he certainly should have been a guy. He should be getting 20-plus touches a game, whether it's rushing and receiving.
You got to figure out how to do it. I mean, figure out how to use Jalen Reagor. If it means that he's not a high-volume catch guy, fine, but make him a freaking weapon in the offense. They couldn't do it last year. Maybe it's him.
Yep.
I don't know. To the phones. Paul in Downingtown. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Paul.
What's up, Paul?
Hey, hey, get ready, 58. You're going to be sitting straight all day, brother. You know, you're on the right of it. And Marcy, hey, I love your comparison, though. Even though I'm all in on the coach, I think Nick Gruderson might be a good name for that guy, man. I really like that.
We're right, looking for players that love ball.
But he has that Gruden enthusiasm that you saw when he stopped. I think he's a better broadcaster than he was a coach, Gruden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Like Ike was saying, that enthusiasm might play, especially when, look, this guy really understands offensive football. It would be clear to people that saw football. Yeah, he's about,
oh.
What the hell?
You know.
Paul, you're in Downingtown, man. Well, hang on. We'll put you on hold. We'll let you try to finish up. Rasheem in North Philly. Sheem, how are you? Rasheem, hello. No Rasheem.
Off to a rough start here.
Uh-oh. Man. One of these spots where all of a sudden someone tripped over the phone cord and it's unplugged. I had it where I didn't realize last week, so I was messing around. I ended up like doing something to the modem, which took out the internet. And meanwhile, I'm trying to do stuff on the line on the air, and it's like, oh my god, like I couldn't get on. I'm like, what the hell? Oh, I'm freaking out. I go down and I just kind of knocked it out a little bit. So we might have done that in the
happens every once in a while.
It happens every once in a while. It does. The thing with Sirianni is that it's not that I think that he's not intelligent or that he's in over his head as far as being a football coach. I worry that in this city, with knowing how we are, to your point, the expectation is going to be low this year. But then once we get expectations, look out. Right. So do I think he's going to be fired after the first season? No, I think he's actually going to come in. And he's going to do a pretty decent job. But then what? Right. Like the big difference when a low expectation team to win six or seven games, then it's like, all right, now we got to win.
Right.
Now we got to win. We don't have realistic expectations in this city. And he's going to have to deal with that. All right. Paul's back. Paul, go ahead, man.
Hey, sorry about that, guys.
You're all right.
Yeah, but yeah, his Knicks offensive football is excellent. I mean, you can tell when you listen to him. Like, if you're a player in that room, you're like, this guy's going to get me open. You know, and that definitely is incentive for guys. I mean, he's talking about the correct way to run routes. He's talking about correct systems where, you know, he's going to be isolating a guy in zone, and that guy is going to have to decide whether he's going to take the out behind him or the guy hooking up in front of him. You know, and he's talking about all the right things, the high-low concepts, putting his guys in good spots and putting the defense in a bad spot. This guy understands that perfectly. And I think that a lot of his high school stuff will go away when the offense starts putting up points. When yeah. guys start to get open and guys start to see, well, you know what? You know, this guy might be a little amateurish hour, but when it comes to Sunday, he's on top of it. He's getting me open. He's getting me stats. We're putting up wins. These concepts make sense. You know, and that's exactly what I was talking about. And I'm not trying to talk bad about baseball, guys, but the defense has the ball, and you only got 9. You don't know nothing about 11 on 11. You don't know anything about offense having the ball. You got to defer to Ike a little bit on this one.
Well, Paul, do you know about sequencing and tunneling and, you know, calling correct pitches and all that, or what?
Jack, you're the best, brother. But listen, football's got the same thing. Football's got difficult concepts, you know, because you're talking about 11 guys in motion. You're not talking about 9 guys standing still. You know what I mean? Yes. You're talking about 22 guys in motion once the
ball. Paul, let me ask you a question. Do you think if their offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, was given the same task to do what Sirianni did, that he could have done the same thing? Maybe not as enthusiastically or things like that, right? Like Nick Sirianni should be able to do what he did.
Yes,
on the video, right? I mean, he's at this level. Of course, he should be able to do that, right?
Football guys, because if an offensive coordinator isn't a football guy, we got a bigger problem than a head coach.
Yeah, you know? No, but, I know. Like that. I mean, I guess that's my point. Like it. I didn't have any reason to believe that Nick Sirianni couldn't do what he did on that video. That's why I was just. I got a kick out of it. I thought it was fun, but like I didn't come away watching the video being like, all right, well, we got our coach. We're gonna be good. Looking up, Nick Sirianni. No, like,
well, what would you need to see to know that?
I guess I just have to wait for the season.
Oh.
Or maybe some, yeah, I guess I have to wait for the season. I don't know. Like, we're going to have OTAs coming up. We're going to be able to hear him talk, at least talk more, right?
Like, but he's not going to sound any different. You got to get past that.
Yeah.
He's not going to change his personality. He is who he is. It's just now he's in front of a microphone, in front of the team. He's the same guy he's been. the same guy.
Yeah.
The same way Doug is the same guy. That's the same guy I played with. Same guy I played with. Doug is the same guy. He can't change his personality when he tried to change and be all tough and mad and this and the other.
I'm pissed off, man.
Yeah, yeah. How long did that last? 20 minutes, if that? He never even got through a whole interview being mad. Because he's a happy, lucky-go guy. That's him.
I know. But also, one of the things that plagued him eventually was that his personality was what it was. And he was a nice guy.
No, what plagued him was that the players got old and this organization held on to him too long. That's what plagued them. Not Doug being a nice guy.
So what happened last year then, other than the players? Doug contributed to that.
Is last year the only thing that was here? Is that, so he basically just got – he became not a good coach based off last year. Last year was a pandemic. Last year was no offseason. What else you want me to give you that contributed to last year that no one wanted to take into account?
I heard a lot of people saying that he deserved to be fired based on last year.
Okay.
All right.
You didn't hear me say that.
No?
Oh, no, you didn't. You've never heard me say Doug deserves to be fired.
Okay. I don't know. I based on everything that happened last year, I can understand why Jeffrey Lurie got rid of him. I did.
Yeah, but that's not what we're discussing. That's going backwards. My point is that you've yet to buy in on the head coach. So I'm just wondering, what will it take? Like, he can't win games until there's actual games played.
Right.
But he's going to be himself. That's all he can be. Is true to himself. So he's going to be excited when he talks about football. You got to get past that.
No, I like that. I like
you obviously
that.
Are holding it against him.
I'm not. All I'm saying is that just him being enthusiastic and being able to go over plays that are being run doesn't tell me anything. Like, here's what I know about Nick Sirianni.
What?
He's never called plays in the NFL. He's never been a head coach at any level. And when he's addressed the media, he's done a terrible job. Like, he's really struggled with it. So I'm worried that with all the inexperience coming into a pressure cooker like Philadelphia,
that sounds
with
like
the
Doug.
Eagles, it
Doug
does,
had never called plays, never been a head coach, was in high school a few years before that, struggled with the Philadelphia media, giving answers, and then won a Super Bowl in his second year when his quarterback was playing at an MVP level. He had receivers, two of them, by the way, a couple good running backs, some good defensive players. Yeah, when he got some players, you saw what he could do as a coach. If anything failed Doug over the last couple of years, was obviously the team got older and was one of the more injured teams. I don't know if Doug became less of an effective coach from the standpoint of knowing what the hell he was doing. I don't know why they fired Doug. Only the Eagles know that. I'm telling you is that I can give you reasons as to why they shouldn't have done anything after last year based on the way the offseason played itself out. That's all I'm saying. That's going to make it difficult for a lot of teams that have new players coming in and the quarterback is playing the way he played last year.
All right, we'll get back to the phone calls here, but it is Mock Draft Central. We send it to the control room with Jack Fritz every day at around 2:45-ish with a new mock draft. What do you got, Jack?
Well, today's a haymaker because we got a new Daniel Jeremiah mock draft.
Oh, which one is this?
This is his four,
I think.
Mock draft 3.0. 3.0.
Oh.
So listen, I mean, he's an heavy hitter, former Eagles scout.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people clamoring for him to be the GM, so here we
go.
He's
a mock behind, isn't he?
Yeah, it feels like he's a little slow. Maybe DJ needs to step his game up a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, 1-2, bang, bang.
No surprise.
Mac Jones, number 3. And the reason why that's interesting is because Schefter tweeted today that the Falcons are open to moving the 4th pick because the 49ers are locked in on their player at 3. And it seems like it's Mac Jones.
Oh, wow.
Really? So they wanted Mac Jones?
The Falcons did?
I don't know. Why would they be – why would it be locked in on a player, according to Schefter, and then now everyone's linking Mac Jones to the Niners at 3.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we always knew that Atlanta was a tricky spot. They basically what'd they do with Matt Ryan's contract?
I think they restructured
it. They restructured it, so he has 2 more years of being there. So we always knew that the quarterback position could be a toss-up as to whether or not they would take one or take a skill position guy. But if teams want Justin Fields, and they want to get up ahead of some other teams that could possibly want a quarterback, like maybe Detroit or maybe Denver at 9.
Right.
Right? Then they need to get ahead to the next team who's not going to take a quarterback that would be willing to move out. And Atlanta may be saying, you know what? If Denver wants to move up here, if I get Denver and New England fighting it out over moving up, or maybe even Chicago moving up.
Give some extra first-round draft picks.
Of course that's what you're getting. Yeah. Of course that's what you're getting. But it all depends on how far they would have to move back. I would imagine they don't want to move back to the 20th pick. So the 9th pick would seem likely. Denver could move up there to get Justin Fields. That's not good for the Eagles.
Four quarterbacks in the top four picks?
Yeah, that's not good
for
the Eagles.
With Penei Sewell, Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts, all these guys at number 6. Yeah, I would say it's not great.
Yeah.
Daniel Jeremiah says that if the Atlanta stays at 4, he thinks they're going to take Trey Lance.
Okay.
But just the fact that he wrote that in there, if they stay at 4,
right,
feels like he's planning that they're going to move back. 5, he has the Bengals taking Kyle Pitts.
Oh, really?
Of course.
They go with the tight end.
Great, great. Classic Bengals taking off offensive weapon when your quarterback
you need
is towards ACL.
Yeah.
What team picked 5, Jack?
The Bengals.
Bengals. You just say it funny. It's Bengals, not the Bengals.
Oh.
Not a Bengals.
Oh, relax. Bungles is what I call them.
All right.
Jamar Chase, number 6 to the Dolphins.
Just how they planned it.
Now, this is weird. Justin Fields, 7 to the Lions.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Jared Goff, they keep him for a year and then move on?
Which they could do.
What is Jared Goff, 25?
Yeah. Well, he does
26?
Stink.
I'm just saying he's still young.
I know.
I mean, if they love the player, they should do it, right? I don't know. I mean, they got their first-round draft picks. I don't know. I agree with you. I think they go skill guy there.
Panthers taking Rashawn Slater to protect their new
quarterback.
New quarterback. Yeah. Penei Sewell falls to 9 to the Broncos.
Oh, wow.
Kwity Paye to the Cowboys at 10.
What?
Yeah, and that
feels like a Cowboys pick, by the way.
Well, it's the first time I've seen him that high in any of these mock drafts. So,
he ran a 4.5 as a DN.
Don't let Howie see that. Seeing him go 10,
oh, be 12.
Say he's going to be a steal at 12. Devontae Smith, 11 to the Giants. I mean, really? Come on, they're not taking him.
Another receiver.
Yeah, like relax, DJ. And at 12, Ike, your Philadelphia Eagles take Patrick Surtain.
All right. Okay, DJ. Now I'll take that if it falls that way. I'll take that.
They get the first-round pick, and they still get the top corner.
I'll take that.
In the draft.
I'll take Patrick Surtain.
Heck, yeah. Absolutely. I'm trying to see what they have the Patriots doing. Patriots take Micah Parsons.
And as a matter of fact, that's the type of pick they're going to need to keep me off of them if the draft falls the way you just predicted.
What about Kwity Paye?
Let's see, because I thought the Bengals were taking Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
That's what it was leaked to.
Yeah. I thought the Bengals were taking Jamar Chase.
Yep.
That's why you don't make that move until draft night. That's why you don't move out of the 6th pick until draft night. You don't know what teams are going to do unless you've already decided what you're going to do.
Yes.
Which means they were not going to take Chase or Pitts.
Correct.
Well,
correct.
Okay, that's not a good thing.
Because before
I heard he wasn't going to be there.
Yes. Yeah, that was what Albert Breer had. Right. Well, it's likely that Chase wouldn't be there anyway, so they traded out. Jalen Waddle goes 16 in this mock draft. So we've really seen it all. Waddle could be either a top 8 pick or could go all the way down to 16. 215-592-9494. Chance to win $1,000. That is coming up next. More into Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. We got to talk Phillies as well. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls and a chance to win $1,000 is coming up next. Marks and Reese.
Hey, one of the best things about golf is a gimme. It's a sure thing. I don't get many of those out there. So if you want to start betting on golf, FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, has a gimme just for you. New users can get 20-1 odds on Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, or Jordan Spieth just to make the cut at the Masters. That's right. Take your pick. You'll get 20-1 odds on 3 of the world's best golfers just to make the cut. Are you kidding me? Now, there are no guarantees, but a gimme is close to being a guarantee. And having these three guys 20-1 odds just to make the cut this weekend, whew, that's pretty close to a gimme there. especially considering Dustin Johnson is the defending champion in Augusta. Now, you can win $100 on a $5 bet. There isn't much more of a gimme than that. And when you do win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. The world's best golfers tee off in Augusta April 8th through the 11th. And there are even more ways to win with America's number one sportsbook. Just create your account using promo code Ike to get 20 to 1 odds. Again, that's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Ike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.